You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of A Change in Attitude. Yes, I am your host for the week, the Texas Gentleman, Tanner Pruitt, and along with me, my two favoritest co-hosts, sorry Matt, Mags and Ori. Ori, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm you know, despite things, you know, I'm good.
Good, good.
I'm a lot
good.
More awake than I was, what, an hour ago?
30 minutes here or there.
I pulled a Bruce Pritchard on you. That's what happened. I pulled a Bruce Pritchard.
This is true. And Mags, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. Excited is the wrong word. Tolerating the fact that we have to watch this and talk about this shitty Raw.
Yeah, this is what we do here on a Change in Attitude. Is we're watching all the Raws from the Attitude Era up to the end of the Attitude Era, it seems. And right now we are in September of 1996, September 9th of 1996. Ori, which episode would this be on Peacock Network for our listeners here in the States?
Season 4, Episode 35.
Fantastic. So that way you can watch along and enjoy the pain with us. But yeah, this is an interesting episode of Monday Night Raw. The opening video package, we had a continuation of the Intercontinental Title Tournament. We have guys like Sid Vicious, or is he Psycho Sid?
Psycho Sid.
Psycho Sid. There you go. Owen Hart. Mark Marrow, who did a phenomenal shooting star press in that little video package there. I think he hit that on Gold Dust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in tonight's match, we actually have Farooq Asad taking on Savio Vega in a match that
poor,
I didn't expect.
Poor Savio Vega, you forgot his damn name. They announced him as a legend, and you just
did they announce him as a legend?
Yeah, maybe Jim Ross called him a Caribbean legend. Back out.
I must have missed that part, but apparently it happened. We are just a few short episodes of Monday Night Raw away from In Your House Mind Games, the main event being Shawn Michaels and Mankind. Mags, I'll start with you. How are we feeling about this? I guess this lead up, this build up here to In Your House Mind Games so far.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really, really weird. I just didn't see Mankind in the title picture Obviously, he had the match with Undertaker to build to, and it's just like he was almost juggling this storyline and the Shawn Michaels one as well. And yeah, it just didn't really kind of click with me. But obviously, we know how Mankind how he turns out in the WWF. And the build up to it in terms of the promo work has been really good from both sides. I mean, I think it was either last week or a couple of weeks ago, we got a really good promo in the ring from Mankind and Paul Bearer. And then later on in the show, we get a promo from Shawn Michaels. I'm intrigued, if not hyped, I suppose, for it.
And Ori, the sentiments for In Your House 10, Mind Games. Obviously, Mags had a lot to say about how he feels, but I want to know how you feel about this build-up here as well.
I'm kind of middle of the road. I mean, I liked this show for the most part.
that is a hill to die on.
Yeah, like I get that I'm more of a glass half full type person, but I really kind of enjoyed it.
Indeed.
I feel like I need to explain what's happening.
Yes, you should explain.
Okay,
for the listeners at home.
What we are continuously cracking up about is my computer, and where I sit and we do this stream from is in my bedroom. And so my husband will come in to, you know, use our bathroom or to get ready to go to the gym. And every time he walks behind me or walks through the room, he does it like he's a creeper. Like he's got the creeper claw hands and he's tiptoeing exaggeratedly. He's sneaking through to not disturb us. And it's just the funniest thing.
It's the whole kind of like when you try and sneak like that, you end up stepping on the creaky floorboards that little bit more.
Yeah.
It's actually noisier than just walking through.
It's kind of like if you've seen The Emperor's New Groove, when they turn the emperor into a llama and he shoves him in a bag and he's trying to sneak through the city and he's got his own sneaking music and... like the two people walk by and he flattens himself up against a wall and he's like, and they're like, what is wrong with this dude? It's that kind of goofiness. My husband's a nut, but I love him. He's my nut.
It's good stuff.
It really is. One day when we're able to do the show live, you'll catch this. And I have no doubt in my mind it'll happen and he'll make an appearance just creeping through like a weirdo.
I can't wait. It'll be fantastic. Geez.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about the build up to In Your House of Mind Games. We're still at the very beginning of it, it seems, but we will get there.
It is going kind of slow. I don't know that I'm invested in Shawn Michaels versus Mankind so far. You know, I'm interested in what's going on off to the side with Undertaker and Mankind and Paul Bearer. I'm interested to see what's going to happen with this Intercontinental title tournament. But I don't know that I'm fully invested. I'm interested. I'm not quite invested.
There's still a lot more build to go. I think that the In Your House Mind Games is on the 22nd of September 1996, so we still have some time. But yes, the card definitely does need a little bit of fleshing out, it seems. So we'll see what happens here along the way. But for now, let's take a look at the September 9th, 1996 episode of Monday Night Raw. We open with our hosts, Kevin Kelly, Jim Ross, and Jerry the King Lawler. So no Vince McMahon for yet another week. I don't know where he is. Maybe he's off on vacation or, having a Mai Tai somewhere. I don't know. He could be anywhere.
Can you get a good Mai Tai in West Virginia?
Not that I would be a... I mean, I've never been to West Virginia, so I really couldn't tell you.
West Virginia!
I knew you'd do it.
Yes, the crowd in West Virginia hot for this opening contest, which is part of the WWF Intercontinental Title Tournament. The quarterfinals, it seems. The quarterfinals. Farooq Asad taking on Savio Vega, who, as Max pointed out, is a Caribbean legend, according to JR. Farooq Asad is wearing a blue tunic with a blue helmet.
So the same thing he's worn every week.
Essentially, yes.
I mean, the helmet has become more blue than it originally started off. It started off looking like tinfoil, but now it's looking like blue tinfoil.
Yes.
I hadn't noticed. I don't pay that close attention to the helmet.
On a podcast where you're reviewing the show, you don't pay attention. Brilliant.
Well, I don't pay attention to the color of the helmet. I'm watching the wrestling.
I do want to emphasize how important the helmet is to me, at least here, because as the opening contest kicks off, I believe the first move Farooq does is a headbutt, and we have made a meal out of how criminal it is that Owen Hart had used the cast for so long, and yet Farooq Asad using a headbutt while wearing a helmet is not a disqualification. It kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Oh, that thing's padded.
And it's literally made out of foil.
Yeah, foil and foam. Come on.
But how do I know that? How do you, the viewer, look at it? Open your eyes.
You have eyeballs.
It would be much more dramatic. It'd be much more dramatic if he got in the ring and then took off the helmet and then gave that to Sunny, who she looked quite nice this evening, I think. You know, but that's another story for another time.
It would be far more interesting if it was an actual gladiator, like metal gladiator helmet that he took off.
Yeah,
that would have been much more compelling.
If he lifted that helmet off, it would, once it come off his head, it would squash in his hands and show that it is absolutely
not worth it. That's why I said it needed to be a metal helmet.
Maybe that would be even more dramatic if he just crushed his own helmet and then, like, he began the match as, like, a form of intimidation to Savio Vega, who is standing across the ring or across the entrance ramp, just staring at the monstrosity that is Farooq Asad.
Yeah, but then they have to put in more money to get him a new helmet every week.
Yeah, this is true. But it's plastic, I guess.
Foil. Foil is expensive.
It's foil and foam.
Is foil expensive? Huh.
No.
Anyway, this match was a bit more of a contest than what I thought it would be. We had some great offense from Savio Vega, hitting some spinning heel kicks and some roundhouse kicks throughout the match. Though Farooq Asad was very much physically dominant throughout much of the contest here. On commentary, we had a very questionable line by JR, who says that if Farooq isn't careful, he'll end up looking like Tupac Shakur. You weren't aware, this was just days after Tupac had been shot in Las Vegas and would later die of said injuries. Not very tasteful. Maybe NBC should explore the option of editing out that part of the commentary.
It's something that Ori mentions quite a lot, how the WWF at this time really tried to incorporate mainstream and stuff that was going on outside of the company, and the majority of the time it doesn't hit. It makes them look kind of ridiculous, and this whole part did, mentioning there'll be more action in this fight than there was at the Tyson match, and come on.
It's a desperation for relevancy is what it is. And I get it. They're trying to make themselves relevant with current pop culture. They're trying to move themselves away from the past and the 80s and even the early 90s, but it hits it at, Steve Buscemi. Hey there, young people.
Howdy, fellow kids.
Yeah. Exactly. It kind of, that's the way it hits to me, especially because King didn't actually say Tupac Shakur. He said Tupac Shakur or something like that. And it's like, okay, if you're going to call these things out, make sure you're pronouncing things correctly. You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was more offended by the, you know, the part where he would die and that he got shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
like, but put some respect on the man's name, okay? Say it correctly.
This is true. So, yeah, this was something. Farooq Assad does win the match ultimately with the Dominator, which was a cool looking finish, I think. Post match, Sonny is there with Farooq in the ring, and Psycho Sid shows up because he's going to be Farooq's opponent in the next round. And all the referees come out to try and break up a potential skirmish between the two. I'm looking forward to this match. This Farooq versus a Psycho Sid match. Ori, I know that it's no Ahmed Johnson versus Farooq Assad, but Psycho Sid? Hmm?
Well, let's go back to that, because let's go back to the match itself, because first of all, when Savio Vega came out, he got a much bigger pop than what I expected.
I mean, you know, we this crowd was hot again.
It really was.
We've seen over this show how crowds can kind of like die down as the weeks go by and the tapings go by. This crowd has stayed hot for every single episode so far.
Yeah. And I thought I didn't like the way the match started out, because both men are very big men. And it just seemed like I get that they're trying to paint Farooq as this giant monster, but like, he's just decimating him. And Savio Vega is too big for him not to put up some kind of a fight. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But as the match went on and Savio really started retaliating, and he had a great spinning heel kick, you know, really great drop kick. I got into it more. I was like, okay, this is a much better story, you know, than what they told the first maybe 3 to 5 minutes of the match. That was, you know, once we got through that first 3 to 5 minutes, I was completely invested. You know, we had a lot of really great falls, you know, or really great near falls, excuse me. And as the match went on, I liked it more and more, you know. I mean, obviously Farooq is going to go through because he wants that IC title. I would have liked to have seen Savio Vega in that picture a little more, maybe have him chasing, because, you know, as we've talked about, there's really nothing on the table right now for Savio Vega. You know, this would have been the perfect opportunity to put him up against someone else that is already involved in something else, have Savio Vega go over and get him farther, you know, in that title picture, to then once we get, you know, Farooq or whomever as the IC title, be like, hey, I was this close, and start that feud, or have that, you know, third person in the triangle of feuds for the IC title when Ahmed Johnson comes back. I just think, I don't know, maybe I'm just really, really enjoying Savio Vega. Yeah. I'm perfectly willing to admit that.
You know? I mean, there's nothing wrong with you liking Savio Vega.
No, I don't think so either.
I think I can reiterate basically what Ori is saying. This for me was a pretty good match. It started off really slow with the headlocks, which, to be fair to the commentary, they sold as if like a headlock from Farooq would be way more devastating than a headlock from a normal person, which kind of makes sense. There's a spot with the spine buster, which I thought was brutal. There's the spot where Savio goes for a crossbody, and Farooq catches him and just tosses him to Sonny to show up, and then the bit with the heel, the spinning heel kick was really well done. I thought it was a decent opening match. And then when Sid comes out, the crowd again are absolutely hot. And I just love watching Sid come to the ring because he looks so happy to be there. Like, he loves being a face. You can tell how kind of he gets off on being popular. He's just bounce to the ring. He's in Farouk's face, smiling and shouting. Farouk's in his face. The refs come out, and it makes you really kind of want to watch for when these two face off, because they're going to be two big beefy men slapping big beefy meat.
The only thing I will say that was kind of confusing about this match is that when Farouk would get Savio and like on the mat in some type of submission, not the part where she's grabbing his legs, that's perfectly fine, but he would have Savio in like a headlock sitting on, you know, and both of them are kind of down on the mat and she's slapping the mat, while even though she's encouraging Farouk, it comes off as her encouraging Savio to fight back. And that was, and then I think from in the back, you would hear the fans chanting, Savio, Savio. And I think if she would have reacted to that a little bit more, it would have kind of negated that confusion. Like, I saw her do it a couple times towards the end when that would happen. But usually when you see a person, you know, out at ringside as a manager or valet, there for moral support, whatever, if they're slapping the mat, they're encouraging someone to get out of a hold, you know? And so it just made things just that little bit confusing.
Yeah, I don't think this was Sonny's best outing that we've watched. I think even a promo post-match, it felt a little bit forced and a little bit confused, like she was almost stumbling over her words. But she's hit the mark more times than she's missed in the time that we've seen her on this show. So I can forgive a little bit of a mistake over that, I suppose. But, I mean, she's still ever so young, what, 23 at this time? Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the match. It was all downhill from there, though.
Mm-hmm. Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others, with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT, get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
the show gets interesting from here. We do get a segment here where some wrestlers are giving personal messages, sending words of encouragement to Ahmed Johnson, wishing him a speedy recovery. Some don't. Some wish that he gets kicked in the kidney again. Owen Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin particularly have some words for him.
Goldust and Marlena. Oh, I wish they'd remove your kidney so we could eat it with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. Yes. Oh my God, it was brilliant.
Yes, Silence of the Lambs reference there from Goldust and Marlena. Yes, that's going to make for exhilarating audio.
But the very best one hands down, was the Godwins. It has to be the Godwins.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead then.
Happy birthday. No, it's not his birthday. It's not his birthday. That was brilliant. It was awesome.
It was very in character for them, so I definitely props to the Godwins on that one.
We also got Mark Henry was a part of it. Savio Vega was a part of the well wishes as well. So good stuff there.
It shows that WWF are really behind Ahmed Johnson because even being off screen, he's still getting like little vignette clips. We got more of his interview of him saying whoever has the title when he comes back has got hell to pay and stuff like that. So they still really kind of got that heart train behind Ahmed, which is good.
This is true. We are then taken to the ring where Carlos Cabrera introduces WWF champion, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and his manager, Jose Lothario. What was weird about this is that Carlos Cabrera asks Shawn about Mankind, and Shawn, for whatever reason, doesn't want to talk about Mankind right away. He wants to talk about Jim Cornette, and I was like, I thought this was over. Whatever. But we do get introduced to the concept that Jose Lothario wants to have a match with Jim Cornette at Mind Games, which...
happens.
Ori, what do you feel about the prospects of this Jose Lothario Jim Cornette match?
Bring it.
Oh, all right.
Bring it. let Jose Lothario knock him out again. I'm here for it.
Give him a super sock. By
That's right.
Super sock. Just that was weird, calling him super sock all the time. And Jose, he was really nice and calm. Like, this thing between me and Jim is a personal thing. But Jim, if you want to fight, let's do it. Fight. And then
you can fight this old man here.
I will say, you know, for all the crap that we give the two of them, at least we could hear and understand Jose Lothario this time.
Yeah,
this is true. This is, you know, true.
Props to whoever decided to work with him on that. I mean, he took the mic completely from Carlos Cabrera, but
wouldn't give it back.
Yeah, wouldn't give it back. He was fired up. He was ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, we could hear him. He was clear, concise, mostly to the point. And,
I mean,
you know, props to that.
Mm-hmm. As for Mankind and Paul Bearer, Shawn definitely runs them down in a promo and says that they shouldn't be hunting what they can't kill. And that concludes the promo.
He calls Paul Bearer a snake as well, saying, oh, yes. You run around with The Undertaker for 6 years and then just ditched him. Yeah. It keeps that story flowing without having to see the two come to odds, I suppose.
Yeah, a very, very poignant promo. And that segment actually concludes with Kevin Kelly plugging that everybody needs to go to their newsstands and pick up a copy of Shawn Michaels in Playgirl, where you can see
But it's for adults.
It's for adults.
And then King makes the comment, I've got a lawsuit against them because they keep using my body and putting somebody else's head on it. I'm like, ain't nobody looking at that, honey.
Yeah, very strange.
No.
But you know, if you want to see Shawn Michaels and what tool set he's working with, go to your newsstands and pick up this copy of Playgirl magazine. Let's move on to the debut of the Stalker, Barry Windham. We had a promo package last week that was strange.
Yes.
Mildly strange. And his entrance, perhaps even stranger. I didn't know what to make of what I was about to see when Barry Windham would walk through that curtain as the Stalker. But it just looked like he was coming back from a hunting trip, really.
Yeah,
well, that's part of the gimmick.
Yeah,
I mean,
a hunter.
Yeah. JR talks about it. He hunts one animal a year. He kills it. He takes it to the taxidermist and mounts his head on the wall.
Just one.
That's
just one animal. And this week's was a plumber.
Yeah. I was shocked we got T.L. Hopper again and T.L. Betsy, Hopper. The plunger.
Yeah. I mean, one of the more stand-up characters on this this Monday Night Raw.
At least he pulled his pants up this time.
How was it? I didn't look. Okay. After listening to this week's the episode that came out this week and whatnot, I guess maybe after all that, I just wasn't looking at people as closely because I didn't want to anymore.
As far as T.L. Hopper is concerned, a working class hero is something to be. But not in this match against the stalker, Barry Windham, who really put a beat down on T.L. Hopper and finished him off with a superplex. Decent enough match, though. What did we make of this debut by Barry Windham? I'll start with you, Ori.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't know, and I'll tell you why. Because they hyped this man up so much, but they put so much into this match that it completely distracted from his debut. First of all, we got Brian Pillman backstage with Owen Hart about making a Brett announcement at In Your House that Brett's going to be there and all this, that, and the other. And then we got the JR apologizing about...
I've been forced to apologize to the WWE officials.
Right, about jumping the gun.
Bringing back Razor and Diesel.
Right, jumping the gun on saying that they were coming back and everything. There was a superplex right at the end that I don't know if Barry Windham didn't have a good hold. I think it was T.L. Hopper just didn't have his feet in the right place. But when they came off that top rope, it just did not look good. But it made it very difficult to pay attention to everything else going on in the match because they completely distracted from it in one way or another. So I, other than that weird superplex off the top rope at the very end, I couldn't hardly tell you anything else about this match. Yeah, it was an unintentional burial to me.
And it would be better if the burial was it had interesting or things that were involved in the match that made sense. But Brian Pillman and Owen Hart's promo, they kept interrupting each other, so you kind of had to struggle to find out what they were actually talking about. I mean, there's points in it where Owen is getting, you really can see him getting actually angry that Brian keeps chipping in when he's meant to be getting his point across. Then with the JR stuff, he's apologizing, but then saying, yeah, but I was right, my sources were telling the truth, and I'm going to give you more information later on. So not really apologizing, you just... you're just going to give us more information. It was hard to focus on the match. What you did see was the stalker essentially squashing T.L. Hopper. But the fact that they hyped him up so much last week and for him to be involved in this and then they introduce all these other stuff. Yeah, instead of watching this match, we need to listen to this promo. We need to give you this information. It kind of deflates that balloon and now you don't really care about the stalker. I mean, you didn't really care in the first place, but what kind of little care you had is now been ebbed away because you were meant to be concentrating on a promo about what Bret Hart's going to be doing in Philly, or you're meant to be concentrating on whether Razor Ramon and Diesel are going to be back and how their contract talks are going on. Yeah, it was a bit unfair to the return of Barry Windham, and it went down like a fart in church.
Yeah.
Indeed. We do get a promo package of a couple of different promo packages post match here. First one being Mr. Perfect keep stealing away Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley's girls as you know, the ones that he would bring to ringside with him. Do we make anything of this? Is this?
No.
The Mark Henry kind of replay, it doesn't add anything. It's literally time filler.
It's there just to keep it fresh in our minds that it's happening. Exactly. Is really all it is, and I get it, but at the same time, it's like, okay,
yeah,
pretty much.
I mean, because honestly, you know, you're watching these shows week to week, and at this point, stuff is happening on house shows that they may or may not be showing, and so when you don't, the smart thing of it is they're obviously planning on going somewhere with it. So if they don't at least show something about it, keep it fresh in your mind, it's going to be like, oh yeah, I forgot this was happening. So while it's time filler and, you know, doesn't seem to mean much and it's not adding anything to it, it's keeping it in your head for a reason, because something is going to happen somewhere down the line about this, whether it's next week, whether it's in your house, there's a direction. We just don't have anything else right now.
The next match that we get here on this Monday Night Raw is a Crush, who comes to the ring with Clarence Mason. He takes on Freddie Joe Floyd. And this match didn't really last too long. Went about 3 minutes, and then Crush just hits Freddie Joe Floyd with a heart punch and gets the win here.
I mean, essentially two squash matches in a row. That to me is not good booking. And again, the more interesting stuff was actually the things that was happening off camera, the talk about whether Clarence Mason was a manager and being quizzed on whether he had his managing license and the stuff he was doing, getting involved with Sonny and Jim Cornette. All the while, his client is essentially squashing poor Freddie Joe Floyd. Freddie does get an opportunity with that crossbody, but as soon as he gets up, gets a heart punch, and it's all over. Yeah, a nothing match that does nothing for Crush.
Mm-hmm. No, it does nothing for anybody. I mean, to some extent, and maybe because this is just fresh in my mind, it does kind of make Crush look a little more brutal, because Crush did the same thing in this match to Freddie Joe Floyd that Charlotte did to Nikki A.S.H. on Monday, as of the time that we're recording this, where they would go for the pin and then lift their opponent up by their hair, wanting to continue the brutality and not actually finish the match, you know, which in Charlotte's case was stupid. But, you know, Crush is a monster. He's remorseless. He doesn't care. So in a way, it made sense. But, you know, it was typical quick squash match.
This Raw in particular just seems to fly by really, really quickly. You know, without much to really kind of make note of. Like, there's nothing like this is a decent enough Raw as we head into the main event, but there's nothing remarkable as far as like noteworthiness outside of the opening match, you know, and the confrontation that Psycho Sid has with, you know, with Farooq Asad. I mean, I thought that was pretty much the highlight that we would get leading into this main event here, which is the Undertaker versus Salvatore Sincere, who I'd completely forgotten about, if I'm being honest. I don't remember who
I never
Salvatore
knew him.
Sincere.
He's unbeaten here in the WWF, you know. How
That's
dare you forget about him? And you're
That's
missing. You've just skimmed over one of the best promos that WWF ever produced.
Well, then go on, Mags.
Oh God,
tell me what happened. Tell me what happened. Because I tried desperately to try and save the listeners' ears. What's about to be said?
Okay, but so
again,
there's a show that has been on air longer than Seinfeld, and it's had more episodes than Monday Night Football. Coming to the USA Network, WWF Superstars. How can you miss out? I mean, that was my lifeblood as a kid.
What was it? There was some quote in there. I thought you were talking about something else, but there was a quote in there.
I thought he was too.
About it when it was out while the cast of Friends were still in diapers, yeah, or something like that.
They were pimple faced teens.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I was happy.
That's not the thing that I thought you were bringing up, though.
So what did you think I was bringing up?
Well, there was a promo by Bob Backlund.
Yes. Mr. Backlund, you are all American. I have a respect for you, even though I beat you for your WWF title.
Yes. Go on.
Oh, God, please don't.
That's an awesome. It's I Hazel, have an abomination the, for this man. Great, oh Look God, it yeah. up.
So apparently the Iron Sheik is training somebody. And that'll be to be on Raw at some point in the future. I'm sure we will learn about this person 3 to 4 weeks from now. Maybe if my timeline's correct. I don't know. I'm just guessing. We do get the main event contest here, folks. The Undertaker taking on Salvatore Sincere, the memorable, unforgettable Salvatore Sincere. What did we think of this match, Ori?
Sincere looks like a bad Venetian gondola driver that hits on everyone. Like, if you've ever seen the movie Eurotrip.
It's an oddly specific diss. I feel like this
that's
is a person.
What came in my head?
Yes. So a very personal attack.
There's a movie called Eurotrip, okay? And they all get on this train, and it's a guy that used to be on Saturday Night Live, but every time they go through a tunnel, the guy tries to basically molest the other people in the train. And then they come up and like, he'll have his hand on somebody's knee. And go, oh, mi scusi. Like that between the Venetian gondola driver and that's how he came off to me completely. Like, I love the movie Eurotrip. I really do. It's horrible and wonderful and terrible and amazing.
To me, it looked like the most stereotypical "I'm pretending to be Italian when I'm not" character.
Yeah,
I wanted him to do Peter Griffin impression where he goes "bobbity boobity, bibbity bobbity boobity,
bibbity boobity."
Yeah. But the most interesting thing he did was come over to the commentator table, and we get Jerry Lawler going, "Hi, Salvatore, how are you doing, sir?" And then he kind of flicks the baby oil on Kevin Kelly and Jim Ross. Yeah, Jerry's fake Italian kind of mockery accent was probably the best part of this whole match.
I mean, I will say, to his credit, this is the first time that we've seen him in our series of shows, and I don't even know what number we're on right now, but
I think this is like 15, maybe?
Yeah, that's what it feels like, 14, 15. 15 shows, and we've never seen this guy, but he's unbeaten in the WWF.
That's because he's never, ever been in the WWF,
right? He's just never
unbeaten in the WWF.
But it was smart character-wise to go over, shake King's hand, do the flicking of the baby oil, or the acting like he's going to shake their hand and then running his fingers through his hair or whatever underneath the hat. It immediately established him as a heel. Immediately. Mm-hmm. So that I'll give him props to, like, for somebody I'd never seen, if King likes him and he's buddy buddy with King and shaking his hand, heel automatically.
Yeah.
So if nothing else, it established that. I'll give him props for that.
We do get a split screen you know, at some point here during this segment, where Goldust and Marlena are talking about The Undertaker and quoting the movie The Untouchables.
And even telling you that it's The Untouchables in case you didn't get the reference.
Yeah, very vague reference there, I guess. But I guess timely, perhaps. Yeah, there you go. We also get JR on commentary at one point. Oh, something fell over. We also get JR on commentary at one
Salvatore
point.
Salvatore Sincere. That's who fell off.
Yeah, essentially it. JR goes on to clarify his apology from earlier, which I think makes it...
You know that apology? Fuck it. I'm still in conversation with Diesel. Razor Ramon, I'm struggling a little bit. The guy wants more money, but yeah. Diesel's in the bag.
Yeah, he goes on to tell us... I don't know who's telling him to say these things, but JR is trying to explain that...
Poor JR. This is such a bad story.
He's trying to clarify, you know, I will not apologize for trying to break the story. I apologize to WWF for what I did, but I really need you guys to know what's going on with Diesel and Razor Ramon. And so he tells us... it is Razor Ramon who's having the contract negotiation difficulties, but Diesel, he's all for making that comeback. So we'll wait and see what happens with this.
Big Daddy Cool's coming back to the WWF.
This is going nowhere, folks. Nowhere quickly.
Fast, yeah.
But we'll see what cards JR holds up his sleeve, this unusual source that he's getting all of his news from. I wonder if it's himself, to be quite honest.
It could well be.
But this match here, it's fairly forgettable in my mind. But who am I but just one man? Mags, what did you think of this match?
Do you know, this match actually annoyed me. Because I do have a reason behind it. Because if any match should have been a squash match, it should have been this match. I mean, we get an Undertaker who is full of piss and vinegar, not even doing his slow walk down to the ring. He's literally in there. He wants to rip somebody's head off. And then Salvatore Sincere gets way too much offense in on the dead man. I mean, this is a jobber. Make no bones about it. Salvatore Sincere, well, very much incredibly defeated jobber now. But he gets in... way too much offense. I mean, there's a point in the match where he's slapping the Undertaker about, and yeah, it's he gets way too much time. We do get the tombstone. It was a really good looking tombstone, but yeah, this match was annoying. Apart from the Jim Ross apologizing to absolutely nobody, a poor end to a poor row for me.
Indeed. Ori, any final thoughts on this match in particular?
I couldn't watch it.
Oh.
I couldn't say it. And
that's the end of the episode, folks. Like, thanks for tuning in.
But I mean, Mags makes excellent points. This should have been, you know, a squash match. It really should have. With the way Undertaker was coming down to the ring, you know, it went on way longer than it needed to. There was no reason. You're trying to establish that Taker is angry. He is hungry. He's, you know, out for blood, whatever. You know, let Salvatore get his few little hits in and then let him squash him and be done with it. Let him give, you know, spend a minute and a half in the ring just standing there looking angrily at the camera. That would have done much more service than this long match.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing is we get the announcement that Goldust versus Undertaker at Mind Games is going to be a final curtain match, which is going to be an interesting stipulation. But yeah, this match had way too much time. Salvatore, he made the Undertaker look weak, essentially. This is an Undertaker who should be absolutely destroying fools, still being angry at what happened at, in the Boiler Room Brawl match, still being angry at his friend turning on him after 6 years. He shouldn't be selling for somebody, for the likes of Salvatore Sencia. So, yeah, for me, this is a dud.
Mm. Indeed. That's it. That's it for this week's episode of Raw. Next week we're getting the Intercontinental Title Tournament semifinal matches. Plus, we'll get to see the debut of a new wrestler.
Oh, we will.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, goody. I'm so excited.
Are you not excited for who the Iron Sheik is bringing to claim back the quadruple WF title?
No.
Come on, Aura.
No. And I think it's just by the time I got to the end of this episode, I'm so done.
I can't. Fuck this podcast.
No.
This is not worth it. I'm not the draw now. I'm not watching this shit.
I'm not saying that at all.
Ori, friend of the stars.
God.
So this was something. Raw. It happened.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, there we go. Cool. That's it. That's all for this week's episode of A Change in Attitude, I guess. Ori, where can people find more of you and your content?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I have a new handle. I asked for some help. I was trying to unify the socials, make it one name that people could look me up and find me anywhere. And thanks to Mags and our buddy Metal Michael, I believe it was.
Yeah.
I have a new handle. It is Ori the Draw. You can find me under that name on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Instagram. I'm still working on getting the specific, YouTube/C/ Ori the Draw, the specific one. But if you go to YouTube and look up Ori the Draw, you can find some highlights from Twitch, some of my rants about current wrestling. That's kind of what we've been talking about on the Twitch stream. And so, yeah, it'd be Instagram, the whole thing.
Bebo. So if you... MySpace, Friendster.
Dude, I miss MySpace. MySpace was awesome, okay? It's so much better than Facebook. I'm over the Facebook. I do not have a public Facebook, though. Don't look for me there. You won't find me. I don't know what you'll find. But yeah.
Well, there you go. I think that that takes care of all the social handles, I think. MySpace, and I think we're missing a couple, maybe. Instagram.
MSN.
No, it's Ori the Draw on Instagram.
Instant Hotmail. Messenger.
Yeah,
AIM. I don't use Instant Messenger. I don't use Hotmail.
All right.
And I'm not playing FM 21.
Oh. Well, that's a shame.
It's what the people want.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If I get
rant incoming,
no. I'll put a challenge out. If I get 50 people tweeting Ori the Draw, hashtag Ori the Draw FM21, if I get 50 tweets, I will get it and play it once.
What if 50 people at you with hashtag FM21?
Nope, 50 individual hashtags. From 50 individual people. If I get 50, I will get it and play it once. There's your challenge.
You should play it more than just once. I feel like you
50 times.
I gotta see how I feel about it first, because I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, right. Like, you have to. I mean, but that means you have to play it at least more than once. You can't just play. It's not really my thing.
We'll see.
Okay.
But if I get 50 people, hashtag Ori the Draw. FM 21, 50 people. I will play it on Twitch.
Okay.
But well, if I do that, y'all 50 doable. Better show up in my stream.
Well, you heard her, folks.
Just 50 people saying, yes, we want this, and zero
people show up to the Twitch stream.
So you've heard the challenge, everybody. You need to at Ori on Twitter and use hashtag OriTheDrawFM2021.
FM21.
There you
FM
go.
FM21.
So hashtag OriTheDrawFM21. If we need 50, if we can get 50, she will play Football Manager and stream it live on Twitch several times, is what I hear. So let's get it going, ladies and gentlemen. Let's make that happen.
Good luck.
Mags, what about you? Where can people find more of you and your content on the internet?
Okay, so firstly, I'll go through the podcast socials. You can find this podcast on the Twitter at ACIA Podcast. Come and get involved, get some chat going. One of us at least will reply and join in with you. We've had some great conversation with Steve-O, who is absolutely just been amazing, really watching on. Same with Scottish Danny. You can email your thoughts and your opinions to us as well at achangingattitudepodcast@gmail.com. Or if you want to just not even remotely talk about this terrible, terrible Raw, you can come and follow me at Podfather Mags, where I'm happy to talk about anything else.
Indeed, indeed. And I hear that, like I said, you can also email the show. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, you can. I literally said that not 30 seconds ago.
I heard the Twitter handle and like
a changing attitude podcast at gmail.com.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. I just got some news about the PWG show that was this past week, and I was very excited to see it. And I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's fine. Okay. Now give us your socials so we can get on out of here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can follow me personally on Twitter at TexasGentleman_. That's me. You can see my eyeballs and my hat. That's what my profile picture looks like. But you can also follow some of the other content that I provide over at a couple other different handles. We have Radio Techers, which is presented by myself, as well as Mags here, and the magnificent Matt Willis. We do podcast stuff. We do little short bits, like if you're big into the football, me and a good friend of ours, Chris, actually did a little mini special report on the Harry Kane transfer situation, which is intriguing to say the least.
And also about 5 weeks old as the time that this drops. So interesting.
Yeah, you can check out some old content. Check it out. It's great. He might already be playing for Manchester City by the time you're hearing this.
But if you want to listen to how he got there,
then you can check it out over on Radio Techers, where we do stream and do episodes on YouTube and Twitch. So you can definitely do that. Radio Techers, RadioTekkers. And then I'm also finishing up the wrestling podcast Headlock Talk, where I might have still a few surprises left up my sleeve here as far as that show is concerned. But I'm rolling out the final few episodes here. There's one that was about Eddie Guerrero that just came out as of the time of this episode. And I think the next couple ones are also pretty intriguing. So make sure to check it out, folks. That's Headlock Talk. You can follow that on Twitter at Headlock Talk. So yeah, there you go. That's my social stuff.
There you have it. There it is.
So there you have it, folks. Thank you for joining Ori, Mags, and myself on this wonderful journey through this very forgettable episode of Monday Night Raw on September 9th of 1996. We greatly appreciate you for joining in, and definitely hit us up with your thoughts on the show and let us know what we got right and what we got wrong on the Twitter space. Anywho, y'all take care, have yourselves a great rest of the day, and don't forget, always use your head.
Bye.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big.